I had a picture of a drum, and a drum roll was playing. A beat was going. Isaac, I wonder if you can just do a soft beat like you were doing with that song. Just a soft, just a soft one, and then you can maybe build it up. I just think God needs to say to some people here today that you need to listen to the drum roll, the beat of the Holy Spirit, the lifeblood of the Holy Spirit, and whether that is low and soft and comforting, whatever you're going through, or whether that's loud because you need to hear it, that is the drum roll of our Savior. That is the drum roll of Jesus and the blood of His Holy Spirit.
When the people of Israel were coming into the Promised Land, they came up through the River Jordan, as you might remember. And when they were actually going through on dry ground through the River Jordan, God told, Joshua, I think, got told each person from the tribe needs to pick up a massive stone from the riverbed, something really big, and you need to set them up on the other side of the river. And then in years and generations to come, when people ask, what are those big stones doing there? And you know, we live near Stonehenge, people like asking why big stones are there, they're still doing it now. He says, you're to say to your children, those stones come from the dry riverbed of the River Jordan. And I think what God's trying to say to us through that, when we're entering a new year and singing songs about how when we look back on our life and we can see where God's been good to us, it's really good to reflect on some of the things God's already done for us, actually. As we're entering the new year, even writing some stuff down, so that actually you can have these building blocks that you can look back on and say, there's no way I could have got to where I am now without the grace of God.
I just wonder if any of you know where these phrases come from. Fight the good fight, the apple of his eye, flowing with milk and honey, my brother's keeper, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, the twinkling of an eye, wheels within wheels. Well, you got it partly right, in that they are in the Bible, yes. We'll come back to that, okay? Let me just tell you a quick story. In January 1526, Thomas Cromwell, Henry VIII's chief minister, was dining with his wife soon after New Year when there was a knock on the door, and it was the postman, or at least the Tudor equivalent of the postman. And a package was delivered. It was wrapped in wax paper to keep the damp out, and it had come all the way from the Netherlands. It was the first edition of William Tyndale's translation of the New Testament, from which all of those phrases come. He gave it to his wife, and he said, here, read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. What a staggering suggestion. He also said, don't be surprised by what's not in it. Think about that for a while. Within 4 years, that translation of the Bible was in every church in England. And 70 to 80% of that Bible is in the Authorized Version. Word for word. He's one of my heroes, William Tyndale. They say you should never meet your heroes. Well, we won't be meeting William Tyndale, not yet anyway. In fact, I only have one hero who's still alive, and he would never think of himself as a hero, so put that to one side. I just want to say that I believe for 2026, Father wants to see the Word so embedded in us, so deeply part of our lives, that we won't know where the phrases come from. But more important, I believe it's the start of something very significant for our nation, to see again God's Word embedded in the transactions of our country, of our government, of our nation. Is that too much to expect or ask? That we should see our leaders saying things biblical things, even if perhaps they don't know where they came from. But it starts with us. It starts with us. If the word is embedded in us, then we have every reason to hope that it can become embedded in our nation. It's costly. Within 4 years of the publication of that first edition, William Tyndale was executed in the Netherlands for treason, because the church recognized that God's word undermined men's understanding of almost everything. If you're prepared for that, if you're prepared to go with what God says and not what men say, then the prospect of seeing the word embedded in our nation must surely be something that in faith we can look for.
Okay, right. Now, God is unchanging. We all know that. David was already testing our memories on what's in the Bible. We're going to play another quick game here. You need to get into teams and you need to write down as many characteristics and the nature of God that do not change that are written for us in the Bible. Get your kids involved as well, because we've got a tub of chocolates for the prize. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and cease. So we've got a few. I'm going to invite Mr. Paul Brown, who's going to come and write them up here for us. We'll start over here. One characteristic you want to shout out from this team here?
Never changing.
Never changing.
Am I right? Unchanging.
Well, there you go. It's kind of a bit of a given. Okay. This team, any more? What have we got? Faithful. Okay, next. Something else, shout out. Patience.
Self-control.
Good. So. Yeah, good. Good. What, is that right? Yeah, next. What else have we got? Over here, anything over here?
Love.
Strong. Is that right? Strong. God is always strong. Anything at the back there? Right on the back. Faithful. I think we've got that. Yeah.
Unbegotten.
Glad you're writing.
Begotten, not created.
Eternal. That's two goes, David. What about down here? Anything else here? Sorry?
Compassionate
and creative. What about right over here, right at the back?
Mercy.
He's quick. Here-ish. Omniscient. What does it mean, Jill? All-knowing. Yes. Anything from back there?
Justice.
So he's just. Yes, very good. Anything over here?
Truth.
Did you have anything? You're just on your football players still, aren't you? Yeah. Good at football. Truth. Yes.
Holy.
Great.
Steadfast.
Anything over here?
Wisdom.
So God is wise. Yeah. Great. Grace, full of grace. Oh, getting harder, isn't it, as we come over this side, isn't it? Yeah, shout out.
Kind.
Have you had kind, Paul? Kind, yeah. Anything else?
Unending.
That's good. Just goes on and on. Right. We're doing well. Are there any more that we haven't said yet? Immortal.
Omnipresent.
Omnipotent. I can't hear you louder. Everlasting. How are we getting on, Paul?
Well.
Did you get everlasting?
Healer.
Healer. powerful. God doesn't change, but he asks us to change, doesn't he? And change is actually a gift from God. Just do you remember what you were like when you were younger, when you were maybe a child or a teenager? And to think that if you were still like that now, it wouldn't be so good, would it? But God, in his kindness and in his mercy, offers us the gift to be able to change, to not be as we were, but to be something else. And that's the good news, isn't it, of the gospel, that we don't have to stay as we were, because he will change us. The Bible talks about us being changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. So change is a gift from God to us. Well, actually, I just wanted to show you that verse there. You might have seen that in Romans 2. God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. It comes when we humble ourselves before God and allow him to speak into our lives. It comes when we let him be the Lord of our lives. Change is a gift from God. As we head into this year, there are three things that I think we can't change. First thing is things that are just beyond us. Things that take place in the world, headlines that we read, stories that we come across. They're just bigger than us. All we do is observe them. We cannot change those things. There might be situations we're in at work that we just can't change them. There'll be things like that. The second thing is there's going to be opportunities for us to change. As we encounter people, as we talk to people, as we just go through life, there'll be times when we are faced with an opportunity to maybe think, well, maybe I need to adjust how I do something here. So there's things that we cannot change. There are things where we will be presented with opportunities to change. And of course, as we have seen from this wonderful list here, God does not change. He is the unchanging one. And he is the one that asks of us to change as we go through the year. He is the one who wants to keep our hearts soft so that we're like a bit of plasticine, that he can work on our lives. And it's been so interesting just hearing what God has been saying to us already as we sort of head into this year about the Word of God being at the forefront in our nation. And Sarah, why don't you just come and share what you were feeling? Because I think this really ties in also prophetically with what God is saying with us this morning.
Thank you. In our small group the last couple of years, when we've kicked off in January, we talk about wanting to get to the end of the year and not remaining the same, you know, that we want to change in terms of what God is doing with us. We don't want to remain the same. And last January, we brought everyone in our small group a teeny tiny little plant, which was in a teeny tiny little pot, really as a prophetic statement of, here's your plant, what are you going to do with it? In order to keep it alive, you're going to have to work at it, because it will obviously outgrow. It was a very teeny tiny little pot. And so it was like we gave it to everyone in our small group, and it was like, do with it what you like, but we will be asking you how your plant is doing. We will be checking up. And I just felt this morning, just as we were singing, just sort of reminders of that as we start a new year, that maybe for some of us, change is coming, and we have a choice in that, that we can stay in our teeny tiny pot, but the reality is your plant's not going to do so well. If any of you have ever been given a plant, it goes to a certain point and then it might start to sort of wilt and die, and actually it needs repotting into something bigger, and the leaves go a bit brown, need a bit of pruning. That's a little bit painful, but I felt this year for some of us that God is saying, maybe even now, it's time for you to enlarge your pot, change is coming. And for some of you, maybe you're even sitting here thinking, I know something's got to change. It might be a change of job. It might be a change in a family situation. It might be something else. But God is encouraging us to enlarge our pot. He doesn't want us to remain small and static. He's got so much for us if we are willing to go with that change, to enlarge our pot, to have the dead leaves chopped off. I brought a word last year about, you know, the pruning and our roots needing to go deep, and again reminded of that today. So what are you going to do with your plant? God's giving you that. It may be time, perhaps he's just calling you to enlarge your pot, because don't limit what God has for you. There is no limit to what God has for you for 2026, 27, 28, who knows? Let's not limit ourselves into that small pot.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really, really good. What's God going to do with this church over 2026? You know, the room is nearly full, isn't it? And if God is continuing to bring people into this church, we're going to have to do something different, aren't we? One of the things that we'll be praying about this week is, Lord, what's on your agenda for this church community over 2026? So let's be praying. Thank you, Terry, for reminding us about just being at the prayer time. But, you know, God is on the move, isn't he? We're going to be hearing in March a guy called Gareth Davis, who works with Bible Society. He's going to come and share with us what's been going on in what's known as the Quiet Revival. You might have come across it, read about it. But be encouraged, God is doing things in this nation, in this town, and we want to be part of it. And I heard somebody say it like this. It's like there's a big wave coming. Now, I'm no surfer, but I've been told that surfers get ready for the wave. What they do is they position the surfboard and they anticipate the wave coming. So they get their serpent, they're pointing it in the direction. So when the wave comes, they're ready to go with the wave. If it's not pointing in the right direction, they won't be able to ride the wave. There's a prophetic sense for us, church, that we need to position our surfboard ready for what God is going to be doing in us, with us, through us, in 2026. So we need to position ourselves, which will mean a bit of adjustment, which will mean a little bit of change, so that we can go with what God is going to do. I want to close with this prayer from Saint Francis of Assisi. And as we, after we finish this, will there be an opportunity to pray for Andy and Diane? But as we just gather like this, God has been speaking to us, hasn't he, already? Some rich stuff about what he's going to be doing with us, remembering what he's done in the past and looking ahead to the future. It does feel like God is going to do something, so we need to be positioned ready for this. So here's the prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is dying that we are born to eternal life. And Lord, here we are, gathered in this room, in this space, at the beginning of 2026. You are the unchanging God. We pray that we would be those who change according to your plans and purposes for this year.
keep our hearts soft, our ears open, our eyes open to what your Holy Spirit is doing. Lord, this is your church, and we want to be obedient to everything you are wanting to do in us and through us in this year. We pray that we would keep short accounts with one another. We'd be open to the prompting of the Spirit to encourage, to pray for, to send a little text or a message to somebody in this congregation, in this community. We pray now that you would just fill us all again with your Holy Spirit. We want to breathe you in so that we can be a blessing and breathe you out to other people wherever we are, be that at work, at school, at college, at uni, or wherever our feet may fall. Thank you that you go before us. You are ahead of us. And we want to walk in your footsteps this year. You are the unchanging God. You are so full of grace, and we've listed so many of your attributes on that board. We want to walk humbly with our God this year, knowing your ways and walking in them. So let your blessing just fall now on every person here and speak to us. We pray that this week of prayer would be significant for us as a church, that you really would speak and we would see things shifting in the heavenlies. Amen.